First Peter chapter 1. We're going to go to California through New York. Is that all right with you? Like the man on TV, he said, I only have one point, but it takes me 10 points to get you to where I can explain it to you. And so we're going to start. There are several words that I call a summary of the gospel message. Remission. Reconciliation. Righteousness. Isn't that interesting that God started everything with an R? Is that how you spell righteousness? Redemption. And resurrection. Now I'm going to race this just shortly, I'll just warn you. Because I have something bigger to do. There's your gospel summary. It was God's plan. This is an outline of his plan, and his plan included peace. Peace is shalom. It means total well-being. It doesn't just mean peace of mind. It means everything in your life goes well. You have a successful trip for life. It's the same thing that we would say when we'd say, well, have a good day. You didn't just mean financially, and you just didn't mean health-wise. You meant everything you do today to go well, and that's what peace means in the scripture. So you have peace, and you have healing, and that's the plan, that when he brings you into the kingdom and then perfects his plan in your life as you lean and trust him. You know, a lot of things are progressive, and one thing we're not very good at is progressive. I like instant. But God said faith and patience inherits the promise. What does that mean? This may take a little time. Now, 1 Peter gives us, start with verse 18. For as much, verse 18, as you know, I love the word know. Paul uses it a lot. He said, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the scripture says you know, then this is what you know. This is not alterable. It's not changeable. Here's what you know. We know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do you see, you know, you were not redeemed? In other words, this is not a monetary value. You didn't buy your way into the kingdom. You didn't work your way into the kingdom. It was by grace, and grace is the operational power of God that comes to you through your faith, free of charge to you. There's no charge for grace. Now it says, you can know that you didn't buy your way in. The word conversation is always the word behavior. It's more the word conduct. We think of conversation as chit-chat, but this is conduct. And it says it's vain conduct. That means it's not profitable. It's just not profitable. Received by tradition. Now, I love the word tradition. Tradition is when you have a habit that's not profitable, that's passed on usually from generation to generation. It's just what we always do. It's what Mom always did. One lady stood me down on the scripture. I read her the scripture. I try to be polite. And she said, well, that just isn't what Mama said. Well, Mama was wrong, I'm telling you. Well, certain traditions are not profitable. Oh, I don't care when you put up your Christmas tree. God doesn't care when you put up your Christmas tree. He doesn't care if you don't put one up. Some traditions are just traditions. My mama, when she got where she couldn't do some things, and usually my sister went over and decorated the Christmas tree, so I didn't know we had a regime, you know? So I'm decorating, and Mama would take one, she'd put over here. And I'd move some, and then she'd come move that and put that up here. And little did I know, when I stood back and see what she's doing, she's got that tree split down the middle, and she's perfectly matching. This bulb is identical to this bulb. It has to be symmetrical. Well, I didn't know that. See, what you don't know, you don't know. Is that profound? what you don't know, what you need to know, you get in the scripture and you find out, the Holy Ghost, teach me, tell me what I need to know, tell me what applies to my case. Give me the scripture that should resolute in my heart. He said, you know, this is not monetary. You can't earn this. See, somehow we get the impression if I pray an hour every day, if I read my Bible every day, if I don't miss church, if I get perfect attendance in Sunday school, you haven't earned a thing with God. Did you know that? You've only responded for the riches of His grace that He's given you. It's my response to who He is and what He's done for me, and it's not earning me anything. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is given to you. When righteousness is practiced in your life, that's holiness. The practice of righteousness is holiness. It says, be holy as He is holy. So if I'm holy, that means I know what righteousness has given me, and it's dominating my life. Righteousness dominates my life. It's the gift of God when you receive Jesus, not just as Savior, but as the risen Lord. He's to be risen Lord. Now it says, receive by tradition. Tradition's what handed down from generation to generation. You know the story because I've told it before about the two daughters fix the ham every Christmas and cut the end off of both ends off the ham. They did that every Christmas, cut both ends off the ham before they put it in the oven. And finally, one day, once this really happened, said the other, you know, maybe we should ask Mama before she dies why we cut the ends of the ham off. She said, well, that's a good idea. So they called her Mama on the phone. They said, Mama, how come we're cutting the ends, both ends of the ham off? She said, because my pan was always too short. Profitless tradition. We don't want to do anything profitless. We want to profit. And we profit through the Word, and we profit by the Spirit. We profit by knowing what was done. This is what was done for you, what was done in you. Now it says, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, a perfect sacrifice. See, the reason your works won't work because you're not perfect. And besides that, you're not really willing to be sacrificed, are you? I'm just asking. Foreordained, that's our word we were headed to, foreordained. When you're foreordained, it was known ahead of time. It wasn't a last-minute effort, it wasn't a surprise. It's foreordained, it's the way it was going to be. It's the way God decided it was going to be. And when did He decide that? From the foundation of the world. Neither before there was a world, there was a plan to rescue the world. Now, somebody always wants to know, why did God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life in the garden? Why didn't He just put a tree of life? Because that would have made you a robot if you didn't have a choice. Did you watch The Borg? Are they still on TV? Was that Star Trek? Star Wars? What was that? Star Trek. And The Borg didn't have any choices. They were automatic somehow. And at night, they would climb into some electronic cabinet and be recharged to follow the automatic procedure for the next day. And if that's all God gave you, you didn't have any, you know, there's no reward if there's no choices. If you don't have any choice and this is the only thing you can do, there's no reward. But He had a plan for a wrong choice. And God, who knows everything, knew there would be a wrong choice. From the foundation of the world. That word foundation is the word conception. From the very beginning of God's plan and thought to create the world, He had a plan to rescue it. I'm glad God's not last minute. I'm glad when I stumble, He doesn't say, Becky did what? She did what? Now what are we going to do? Adam did what? What are we going to do? No, He had a plan. He had a plan. Here's the world, the beginning God. There was already a plan. What a comfort. Now look at Revelation 13:8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. When was He killed? From the foundation of the world. He was the sacrifice before there was ever sin and a need for a sacrifice because God had a plan. So when I walk with God, I want to know, what's the plan? Now, if you're smart enough to figure out the plan, that's okay with me. But that won't work for Wayne and Becky Cumby. We have to pray and find out what's the plan. What's the plan? See, God had a plan. The lamb slain. So it's going to take, and here's the clue, all of these are perfected by the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. Every single one ties into the blood of sacrifice. And when there was sacrifice, these things became viable. You were redeemed. Your sins were remitted or blotted out. You were reconciled to God. See, you didn't reach out to God. It says He reconciled the world. He reached out to you. He wanted you to come to Him, and He provided this way for you to come. And you can say, no, I'm not coming. You're going to regret that, by the way. You are now the righteousness of God, fully acceptable to God because of the blood and because of the resurrection. As we point out in the book of Acts, it always says cross and resurrection. We say cross a lot without resurrection, and I want to keep dropping that hint. So you combine the two. So did you know Jesus died on the cross for your sin and was raised on the third day to secure your salvation? It's a pair, and in the book of Acts, it always goes together. Now, look at Acts 2. Now, Wayne and I are not big on plans. We have family members do everything by, are you a list person? Huh? It's okay if you are. He'll say, what's the plan for tomorrow? And I'll say, I don't know, what you want to do? I have gotten old enough that if I'm going to the grocery store, I do better with a list. Because it took me 3 grocery store trips to get a pack of straws. And if I'd had that on a piece of paper, it wouldn't have taken 3 trips. Okay, Acts 2. Verse 22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you also know. Him being delivered. Now that's delivered to death by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God had determined ahead of time. One translation says by the pre-approved plan of God. Pre-approved plan of God. Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God had taken by wicked hands of crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. It was not possible he should be holding of it. The determinate counsel. One says a plan known in advance. One says the prearranged plan. I like the message says the deliberate and well thought out plan of God. I'm glad he had a plan when he saw man is going to trip over his shoestrings. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I'll just inform you because trivia is very important. That when you go to an assisted living program, you're not allowed to have throw rugs. Did you know that? Because you know what trips people up and cause them to fall on their nose most of the time? The throw rug. I know that because I was visiting a little lady who had stocked her place with throw rugs. And I said, are you supposed to have throw rugs? She said, you have to have those. It was tradition. Her tradition says, life is not successful without a throw rug. That's true. See, God had a plan. He said, I'll rescue. See, he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. And then the day came when Adam didn't respond and didn't come because he was in hiding, because he had committed high treason. He had broken the plan of God, broken the commandment of God. But God's got a plan. He's already got a plan. He said Jesus was the lamb slain. When was he killed? See, you who don't plan ahead of time, don't imagine a plan that was thousands and thousands of years in the heart of God before it was ever needed. Because when it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you don't know how many years were between verse 1 and verse 2, and scientists will tell you it could have been billions of years before God recreated. That's a record of recreation. It's not the original creation, and if we were teaching that, we could prove that to you. And so it says, replenish the earth. You can't replenish something that hadn't been originally replenished. So this is round 2 because of what had happened. Now, determinate counsel, foreknowledge, a plan. Are you there? Now look at Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, God's Electric Power Company. Just in case you don't know your books of the Bible, I'll help you. I taught a group one time that past Matthew and Genesis, they didn't know where anything was. And that's okay as long as you're learning. Okay? Verse 14, everything on this list came because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's going to be important to our healing if we get there. In whom we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness or the remission of sins. How did redemption happen? Because of the blood, because of the sacrifice, because Jesus took our place, because all our sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. In other words, that says everybody's doing their own thing here. But the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord laid on him. That was part of the plan that the Son would take the sins of the world. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, you got these because they're leaving. Blood, blood, blood. By the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Now, we come to the cross. In eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were spiritual beings. They had a spirit body. They did not have a physical body. So God is a spirit. It's a spiritual body. Now, I'm a spiritual person. I have a spiritual body in this fleshly body. The spiritual body is eternal. The fleshly body is temporary. You look in your mirror and you can prove that to yourself. They were spirit. Now it says that in John 4, God's a spirit. Now Moses said, show me, told to God, show me. And it said, God said, you can't see my face, I'll put my hand. He had a face, and I'll put my hand in the cleft of the rock so that you won't see my face and my back parts. So we can see that a spiritual body has a face and hands and back parts. That means it looks just like a physical body, but it isn't. Obviously of different materiality. Say, what material? Well, I don't know. When I teach ministers, and this is important to you too, don't ad lib or guess on what's not written. If it's not written, just say, well, we don't know. I was in an office and a lady said, I read on your chart, you teach Bible. I said, I do. She said, can I ask you a question? My husband, I've been debating this question. I said, okay. She said, I want to know where Cain and Abel got their wives. I said, God didn't say. And she went, she was flabbergasted. She thought I'd say something brilliant. That was brilliant. Don't guess. The preacher I watch on TV that I like so much, he'll say, now this is just my supposition. I'm putting this fact from this scripture and this fact together, and it seems that this is how they'd come together, but we don't know that for sure, but I'm going to tell you what I think. I love that. I appreciate that. He's letting you know he's guessing. And I like an educated guess, but I can't stand on guesswork. I have to stand on the truth of the scripture. Now, they're spirit beings, but when Jesus came to earth, he had to have a physical body. How about let's just do it in red? Yeah. And it says in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt. The Word, he was God the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews says God prepared for him a body. If he's going to be my substitute, he has to have a physical body. He can't just be spirit. Now, he's in spirit. But he now has a physical body, and he lived 33 years. And to reveal the Father and to reveal the plan to the disciples. And then he comes to the cross. Now, when he comes to the cross, he's a spirit being in a physical body just like you are. Now, this little lady that heard me teach spirit, soul, and body for the first time, cute little lady, young lady, she said, does that really mean when I get to heaven, I'm going to recognize my grandma? I said, yes, ma'am. I tried to be real polite. She was so excited. That was what she learned from the whole lesson I taught that day. When I see grandma, I'll know grandma. Pastor saw his mother. You may remember him telling that. Because the spirit being and the physical being look alike. I don't know what material. I know what material is physical. If you study biology, you know some things. Now, when he comes to the cross, he's a spirit being in a physical body. He comes by the preordained plan of God, the predetermined plan of God, the prearranged plan of God. He was to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. That's the plan. See, when you trip over your shoestrings and something goes wrong, you know God has a plan. A lot of times the plan's already written. It says, by his stripes you were healed. That was the plan. That's been the plan. From eternity, that was God's plan. Now, when he died, let's put him in the tomb. But what was in the tomb? Huh? The body. You don't think the spirit, who was really Jesus, is sitting in there waiting on the 3 days to be passed. Do you think that? Look at Acts chapter 2. Where was the spirit of Jesus? Where was it? He wasn't sitting in there watching his body. He wasn't laying in his body waiting for 3 days to go, my goodness, just Saturday noon. Here's where we know where he was, because scripture says, verse 27, chapter 2. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. What could be corrupted? Not the spirit. The spirit's eternal. The body. The body was going to lay there. It would not be corrupted. Now that word hell is not Gehenna. Gehenna is used in Revelation. That's the lake burning with fire and brimstone. That is not what's referred to here. This is Hades. Hades is where the rich man and Lazarus, you remember, they both died, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom and the rich man went to the place of torment. So Hades is compartmentalized. There's a place for the saints of God and there's a place of torment and punishment. And it says he was not left there. You know you can't be left anywhere you haven't been. You got that right. We were in Germany flying home. We'd been over there, and we had rented a car. And, of course, we don't speak German. And so Wayne dropped me off at the luggage place, and he went down and turned the car in. And they didn't like where he parked it. Obviously, he parked in the wrong place because he can't read German. And so they said, you have to move that car. So I'm sitting on a bench. And in Germany, they have these guards with huge guns and big dogs. And they're watching me because I've been on that bench a long, long time. And Wayne Cumbie did not come. But when he went to move the car, he accidentally got on the Autobahn. Because he can't read the signs. And you can't get off the Autobahn till you get... So he found a spot that looked solid, crossed the median, came back to the airport. And I'm sitting there, and the guard goes by and goes, he wants to know why I didn't move. Well, I'm waiting on my sponsor. And here comes Wayne, running across the airport. And when he parked the car the second time, the girl said, that is not one of our spots. And he said, I'm going to miss my plane. I have to go. You'll have to move it. And she said, I will send you. Now, watch this. She said, I will send you a bill in the United States. I will charge you for this. He said, that's fine. Send me a bill. So we got a bill. You know how much it was? $20. If we had known that from the beginning. Oh, how much easier that would be if you have some facts, if you have some data, if you know God, if you know his word, if you're a student of the word, how much easier it would have been if we'd have spoke German. Well, we are going to miss our plane because the line to check out is, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And we're just going to miss our plane because we got to wait to go to the counter and do all those things. And finally, somebody came and said, if you're on plane 1, 2, 3, 4, please come to the head of the line. We went, I wanted to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. And they checked us in. We left our luggage. We didn't care if the luggage got on the plane or not. We didn't want to miss the plane. We didn't want to miss the plane, and so we went. Because we might, you know how long you get left, how long the next plane to America goes out? 24 hours later. That's a long time in an airport chair. I'm just saying. We went running for the plane. Run as fast as we could. Got on the plane, got our seat, and went. We didn't want to be left. And it said he was there, but he wasn't going to be left there. Hades, not Gehenna, not the hell fire, but Hades. Now it says that twice. It's down, y'all are staring at me. It says it again in verse 31. His soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. When something's repeated twice, it's because they want to be sure you heard it. You get that, don't you? If your mother does that, or if you speak to your children twice, you want to be sure they understood what you said, so you repeat it. So he was there, but he wasn't left there. Now, John 20, you're following me, right? This is the sacrifice and the procedure that's going to redeem and reconcile and remit sin. It's going to require resurrection, and then it's going to make you righteous. But we've got to have the sacrifice, and we've got to have God. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know the ladies went to look for him, and he's not there. And the angel told him, you can read any account you want, but I want to show you something in John. He didn't hear he's risen. And they obviously didn't believe that, because when Mary ran into the gardener, she said, just tell me where you put his body, we'll take him away. They cherished him, and they wanted to cherish the body. And they wanted in a place where they could know where it was. And she's talking to Jesus, but she didn't know she's talking to Jesus. And when he called her and talked to her, she realized that he wasn't the gardener, that was Jesus. Now look down at verse 17. That's where I'm going. Mary talked to him. She didn't know who he was. And then suddenly she did know who he was. And he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, and your Father. He said, don't touch me. I'm on my way to the Father. What had happened? He came from Hades. We don't know where that is. It's down. It's referred to in the Old Testament as down. So it's down somewhere. It's down here. He came from Hades. And what was he doing in the garden? He was picking up his body. And then he ran into Mary. She obviously reached out to grab him. And he said, no, don't touch me. Now look at Hebrews. I'll tell you where he was going. See, once we know the plan and the plan is perfected, then when I speak with my mouth and believe in my heart, the different prongs of the plan belong now to me because I'm his child. Now look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the, not a holy place, the holy place. You got that? Having obtained eternal redemption through his blood, redemption, eternal redemption, perpetual, continue, ongoing, never ending, is now available to you through your faith. He went to the holy place. Well, where in the world was that? Well, we don't have to guess. Verse 24. Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands. In other words, it wasn't an earthly temple of any kind. It wasn't a church or a temple. Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands, which are figures. A figure is a type. It's like a pattern is a type. If you sew, a pattern is a type of the dress. It's not the dress, but it's a type of the dress. And you can sew the pattern up, but you ain't got nothing. And he said, I'm not going to an earthly temple. I'm going to the holy place. Where is he going? Into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The writer of Hebrews said he's going into the temple. Where's he going? He's going to take his blood and leave him on heaven's altar as a permanent sign that we've been redeemed. We've been bought. We've been purchased. Our sins are remitted. Our slate is clear. We've been reconciled to God. We're part of the family of God. Now, the cross wasn't the only thing God planned from the foundation of the world. That's what's so very interesting. It says he planned the kingdom. The kingdom. Before the world was created, God had planned and orchestrated a kingdom. That's where a king rules a reign. Well, who's the king? Don't we sing All Hail King Jesus, All Hail Emmanuel? See, he planned a kingdom. He's going to rescue a people. He's going to remit and forgive their sins. He's going to reconcile them, bring them into his family, take them out of the darkness of Satan's kingdom, which is Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom of God. He had a kingdom already. A kingdom. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 1, you were chosen from the foundation. He had a people. He had a kingdom and a people. Already! Now, I was harassing Wayne. You know, when you're together 24 hours a day, you can take a few minutes and harass one another. And our house has been the same color for a long, long time. A long, long time. Now, the outside's been pressure washed. It's in good shape. But I thought, you know, I said, I know, I have a plan. He hates that, by the way. And then I point out to him, you know, the other plan I had, okay, I'm through with that. I got over that.
That's good.
It usually takes Wayne 5 years to perfect a plan. I just want you to know that Jesus is a lot swifter than that.
So, it's
yeah, yeah, yeah. He makes me hang in there. I said, let's repaint the inside. Let's paint it all a different color. And then he said, because he's a smart man, does that mean we'll have to recover all the furniture? I said, yes. I don't know about you. Everything in my house matches. Everything matches. So in about 5 years, he'll consider it again. That's the way he does. I said, I'll get over it in a year. And he said, well, I hope so. God had an eternal plan. He's not going to get over it. He's not going to relinquish it. He's not going to turn loose of it. When he came off that cross, they put the body in the tomb, but he was in Hades and he wasn't left there, because after 3 days and three nights, he came up out, picked up his body, ran into Mary in the garden, and said, no, no, don't touch me. I'm on my way to the holy place. Now, somebody always wants to ask a stupid question. I'll tell you, it's stupid, so you won't have to ask me, okay? They want to know, how did he gather his blood up to put it on the altar? Are you ready? I have no idea. I can't tell you what's not written. Don't guess what's not written. Unless you're going to say, no, this isn't written anywhere, but this is my opinion. That's okay. That works for me. Now, he went to the holy place. Now look at verse 26. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once. How many times? In the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the blood. That's the blood. You were reconciled by the blood. You were redeemed by the blood. Your sins were remitted because of the blood. All because of the blood. Now, once he... The Spirit is in Hades. Said, where is that? I have no idea. Down. It says down. Then he comes through, picks up his body, runs into Mary, and he said, I've not yet ascended to my Father. So he's going back to heavenly places, to the holy place where his blood is on display, where your redemption is secured in that place. And then he's going to come back to earth, and he's going to be on earth. How many of you know the book of Acts? 40 days. And then he's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Now, God's a spirit, but what is Jesus? He was a spirit, but he came to earth and got a body. Now, what is he? He's a glorified body, a body that's different. And that's what John said in 1 John. He said, beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. When he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We shall behold him. It's a classic and so beautiful. We shall behold him. Now look at Matthew 26, 28. Y'all got all that? Huh? One lady in the class was an Episcopalian. She was so thrilled. She made an appointment with the priest. She's going to explain it to him. which is, you know, that's an okay idea. But she'd only heard it one time. So by the time she got to the priest, she'd had several mental gaps in her thinking where she couldn't remember some things. She said, I tried and I couldn't. He asked some questions I couldn't answer. Don't ever discourage people. Say, I so appreciate your effort. But let's hear it a lot before we go back to the priest. You're to be an encourager, not a discourager. You're to put people on the right track. To hold their hand. You're not supposed to, you did what? My parents were not Pentecostal. No, not. And I know how to tiptoe. Because I had to tiptoe more than once. Because they're going to heaven. And they'll have to learn. Do you know God shows movies in heaven? I'm pretty sure that would be right. And some of this you're going to see on the big screen. And I believe, this is my supposition only, it's going to be like the screen they used to have, I don't know if it's still there, in Tampa, where you had the Circle Theater and the you saw all that? You seen that? And the pictures all around you, it's over you and beside you. And I think we're going to sit there and see some of these events. And I know we're going to all end up in school. Because somebody always asks me a question I can't answer, tells me something I don't know. I haven't taught the blood in a long time, and I asked Suzanne, that's my daughter right here, to pull me the notes from the file. I couldn't even remember we had any. And when I got those notes, I couldn't believe how much I'd forgotten. I had notes on all the Old Testament sacrifices. I could explain them all to you, and I looked at those notes, and I thought, but if you stand on the finish line, who drew the finish line? God himself. Now, Matthew 26, these are the words of Jesus. Verse 26, they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it. This is Passover to them, this is Holy Communion to us. Gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. Jesus' blood instigated the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It was the fact that your sins were remitted or blotted out or canceled, that your slate is clear and you've been totally reconciled to God, is because of the blood, because of the sacrifice. Remission because of the sacrifice. Now look at Colossians 1. It's all because of the blood, because of the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:20. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, he reconciled you and made peace because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. You can be at perfect peace. You can know that the plan is going to meet your need, that he's going to meet your need out of his riches and glory. We'll discuss peace and worry and fear next week, I think, at length. Having made peace, reconciled by the blood. Sins remitted by the blood. Redemption, we read in Hebrews 9:12, by the blood. All by the blood. All by the blood. All because of the sacrifice. Now look at Romans 8. Here's my point. It's in Romans 8. That was my introduction. Verse 32. You ought to have this verse underlined, italicized, colored in, whatever you do. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Through the blood, he freely gives you all things. Through the blood, everything you need has been provided for you. All things. Now, when is it that healing would not be included in all things? Huh? Freely. It's free. It's for by grace are you saved, not of works. Freely gave you all things. And if you go to Isaiah 53, which we've done before and we'll do many, many times, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. I don't know if you understand stripes. I don't want anybody to faint and fall out, but they use a whip with 9 prongs, usually with glass or metal on the end of it. And when they flip that whip across his back, because these are professionals, they rip the flesh and the muscle off of the back. Now that was the first blood that was shed. The rest of the blood was shed at the cross. Now you tell me, when was it that the blood in the garden, which it says by his stripes, by the blood in the garden, we are healed? He did that before he paid for sin. That's how important your health is to him. Now, when was it that the stripes were not essential? They didn't mean anything. See, when you say healing is not work today, God doesn't heal today, which is dominantly taught in many religious institutions, then you're saying the blood of the garden and the suffering of the garden was for nothing. And yet, what does Romans say? Freely gives us all things. I'm not a movie watcher. And they showed the Passion of the Christ at the theater. And I'm not going, but this little lady who hadn't been to church in 20 years thought she would go if I would go. I went, oh. So I went. And Wayne went. I made him go. We went together. And I heard in the spirit, which was the difference in the early blood and the latter blood? In other words, what's the difference, the blood in the garden, the blood at the cross? And I thought, I don't really know. I pondered it for a long time. So what is the difference? There isn't any difference. Every drop, every single drop counts. Now look at 2 Peter. All things is healing. The stripes on Jesus, that blood was healing to you. Now here, I'll help you. I'll encourage you. 2 Peter. Your body doesn't always catch on quick. Have you noticed that? You have to keep telling it. You have to look in the mirror and say, Becky, did you know you were healed? Did you know the price was paid? Did you know you were redeemed by blood, reconciled by blood? Sins remitted by blood. All things by blood come to you. The full total of shalom well-being through the blood, through the blood. Did you know that? You know why I have to keep saying that? Because my body says, you look terrible. And you feel terrible. And your last testing was terrible. I've had those tests. And then when I'm not too concerned, they're concerned about my mind. I wanted to sing to him, oh, the blood of Jesus. You know what my chart is marked? I'm pretty sure it's marked. I saw it one day. Patient is non-compliant. Because, oh, the blood of Jesus. Now, I went for the test. I prayed over the test. I prayed over the diagnosis. I would have done what they told me to, except I felt in the spirit not to. If I had felt to do those other things they wanted me to do, I would have done them. I am not against medical science, but I am the Lord is my physician. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the wounded heart to cheer. Hear the voice of Jesus. And when I go for medical science, the first voice I want to hear is the voice of Jesus. If Jesus said, do what that doctor tells you to do, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I've been there and I've done that. You got all that right. I'm hollering at you. Okay, one more. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. When does healing and the physical body not come in the category of all things? 2 Peter 1:3. He's given us all things at the cross. All things of life and godliness. And then he says in Ephesians 1:3, he's given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Well, you read Revelation, you know there's no disease in heaven. There's no sickness there. There's no disease there. He's given me everything that's in heaven. That includes healing. He's given me everything of life and godliness. That would include healing. He's given me all things through the cross, through the blood. All things would include healing. Now you go to the mirror. I told you about the little man that went to the mirror, looked in the mirror. That's what I want you to do. Now this was his confession. This is not yours. He looked in the mirror and he said, I'm sick and tired of your attitude. I thought it was brilliant. When I'm going to the mirror, I'm going to say, Becky, did you know you were healed? Did you know by the stripes of Jesus, by the blood in the garden, that blood secured your remission, your reconciliation, your complete redemption, and your healing and your peace, total prosperity, well-being? It's in the blood. It's all in the blood. It's all in the blood. It's all in the blood. When you take Holy Communion, you need to take it with great reverence and know that everything I need, everything you need, is in the blood. And where's the blood? Where is it? In the holy place. When Jesus said to Mary, I've got to ascend. You read that. He was back the same day. It said in evening of that same day, he was back to talk to the disciples who were hiding. But he had taken that time to take his blood to the altar. And when God the Father looks out across the spaces of heaven, he sees the blood on the altar and he looks at you and he says, healed, healed, healed.